brought to you by Walmart. Get ready for cold and flu season with Walmart. They have low prices on brands you trust like NyQuil, Lysol, and Spring Valley Vitamin C. Save money, live better. Walmart. Today's subject is about domestic violence. And our doctor from Philadelphia is Dr. Jen. Good morning, Dr. Jen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, domestic violence. Answer this question for me, because this is something I just really don't understand, and I don't think I'm alone. Why do women go back to an abusive relationship? Do they think that things are going to change?
That's a great question. I think that is a question that a lot of people have. I'm a family doctor, and I see patients with all sorts of conditions, but I do see patients who are suffering or struggling with a domestic violence situation. And the thing about domestic violence is that it's not simple. It's not good, but it's not simple. Every relationship is very different, and the situation between both people is oftentimes very unique. And you're right. Sometimes one partner will choose to go back. And oftentimes there's almost like a cycle of violence, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's one of the things that's really important to talk about with our listeners today, is it doesn't have to be that way. But yes, do some women or men in domestic violence relationships choose to go back? Yes, that sometimes happens. Absolutely.
As friends, family members, church members, what can we do to help someone who's in a relationship and keeps going back?
Well, you know what, I'll tell you, and I think the tips I'm going to give, I think, are sometimes the hardest tips for us. Even as a physician, it's very, very hard to know that someone that you love, that you care about, is in a domestic violence situation. And let me be clear about domestic violence. When we talk about this, remember, this is not necessarily just between men and women. This can happen among same-sex couples. This can happen to anyone of any race, religion, socioeconomic group, you name it. So domestic violence really does not have a type, okay? It can affect anyone. But I think a couple of things that we can do, first of all, is to listen non-judgmentally. It's hard not to judge. It's hard not to say, you should do this, you should do that. Why are you doing this? Why did this happen? It's very hard, but we have to listen judgmentally. We have to acknowledge the person's situation. You know, they don't deserve domestic violence. No one deserves this. It's not their fault. But we also have to encourage them to discuss and to talk. And I think that's one of the hardest things sometimes for people in situations like this to do, is to feel like they can reach out and talk to a physician or a family member or a church member and tell them really what's going on. But the last step that I think is really important is helping people that we may know that are struggling, help them get help. And there's a lot of great resources out there.
And so is that by giving them a phone number, or do we call, or how do you suggest we go from there?
I think that's a great question. I think that any of the above are options, and I think it depends on the situation. You know, what I would suggest, first of all, is, you know, if you know someone, look, if someone is in a domestic violence or abusive situation and there is physical harm, the first thing is to get them to safety and to get their injuries or whatever situation may be treated, handled first. You might actually need to take someone to the hospital or call their physician. But remember, there are other options. Sometimes the option might be going to police and law enforcement for restraining orders and things like that. But, you know, Sybil, to your point exactly, as a family physician, I've done a number of things with patients, and I think we can do this with friends and family. Sometimes we might need to actually literally pick up the phone and call a domestic violence hotline for our friend and say, okay, I'm going to make the call. You sit here. Let's just get some information. Sometimes it's about giving the information.
How do you help the one that's doing the violence? How do you help that person? Because obviously they need help also.
They do need the help. They do need the help. And I think a lot of times it's identifying that and convincing them to get help. You know, the laws regarding domestic violence are different in every state. There are some definites that are certainly criminal behavior, but I think a lot of times it involves talking to both parties. But remember, this is about safety above all else. If the situation is not safe, you really need to get the person to safety. And that really is of utmost importance. And one hotline I really want to mention, the National Domestic Violence Hotline. You know, I know some people might be listening and saying, you know, I have a situation, I'm not sure what to do. Even if you don't know what to do, you may not even know what you want to do or what you should do or what the options are. That is a time to call and reach out for help. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, their number is 1-800-799-7233, and they're at thehotline.org. It's 1-800-799-7233, and they're at www.thehotline.org. I think that's a great start for people to go just to say, wait, what are my options? Where do I even start?
If you didn't get that number, all you have to do is text us at 646-4-6-4, and we'll give you all that information. Dr. Jim will be around for the next hour to answer your questions on domestic violence at 646-4-6-4. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Jim.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, Doctor. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. All right.